March 13, 2019. This is The Better Life. Kind of better than Vito's show. Not quite as good as You Can Bet on That. I am here with my... Love you, Vito. I am Timothy Lawson. I'm here with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how you doing?
Well, you're a little snarky this morning, huh?
Yeah, I woke up kind of in a spicy mood.
Okay. All right.
Does Vito listen to the show?
I don't think so.
I don't think he does either.
I don't think so, no.
Because remember the last time him and I spoke, he was like, yeah, I remember you had, or I listened to your episode with so-and-so, and I was like, that was like 20 episodes ago. Not sure you caught up. Vito doesn't strike me as the mass podcast consumer, so.
No, that's right. I take no offense. He's not a heavy listener.
Yeah. Eric, part of living the better life is taking losses, right? And we spoke about this in the first episode of 2019. And if people remember on the last show, I think I mentioned that I was up a little bit I was up a good amount on the week. And I'd sort of thought about just like, all right, just take a knee, whatever. Don't mess around with anything. But you know, I'm a flawed human, and I'm a gambler, right? And so my daily routine is just always like, look at the line, see what I want to do, and if there's a game I like, I bet it. And it wasn't this huge, like I didn't like wake up and it was all gone or anything like that. But just from Wednesday to Sunday, just like one and a half units a day, you know, and that's all it takes, right?
Sure.
That is like the slow chipping away. It doesn't need to be this gut-wrenching bad beat day, but slowly the one and a half units a day being chipped away, and I find myself, we're recording on Sunday because you are about to run off to Macau. We'll get to that in a second, but I find myself here on Sunday unsure if it's going to be a winning week or a losing week. And I woke up kind of, you know, took it out on Vito there at the beginning of the show, but I found myself kind of in a bummed mood this morning, and for two reasons. And I'm talking about this because I want to be transparent with the listeners about our experiences as gamblers. I think one of the things that has been amazing about this community, Eric, and I think you'll agree with me, is everybody's really transparent on whether they're winning or they're losing, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people you'll see them on Twitter, or they'll call them the Trip Report, or, you know, whether it's the other hosts in the community, people admit it's been a rough week, or, well, all we did was lose when we were out in Vegas that weekend. But two things that got to me. One, the psychology of being up and allowing yourself to lose those winnings, right? And people obviously have caught on. I gauge, you know, I don't, when it comes to sports betting, since I'm doing it every day, or practically every day, I don't think of it as a day-to-day thing. I look at it as a week, so because there's a certain biorhythm and stuff of the week. And so, you know, I should have just taken a knee, as you like to put it, and just let myself end. That'll make this a winning week. We'll start again on Monday. And so there's that part of it, right? For people who don't bet on sports, they can obviously relate when you're up at the tables, right? And you let yourself give a couple hundred back, you know, that feeling like, oh, if I would have just like stepped away right then, there's so much more. And I think it's so amazing. And this is where I think this is the hardest thing that gamblers have, that gamblers do, Eric, is it's almost like gamblers have a really hard time, at least I know I do, and I think I've spoken to other people on the show about this. As gamblers, we have a really hard time leaving partially up or partially down, right? And I think a lot of us, when you play a lot and you're a routine gambler, if you get up and then you lose a little bit back, like, okay, I'm bouncing now before. But if you give like half of it back, it's sort of like, well, I might as well just play out the rest of what I got here, right? Let's see if I can see what happens. And I think on the other side of it, like when, especially like when you're at a table, it's I rarely, unless they have something going on, like if they have to like go to an event or meet up a friend or anything, I rarely see people, if they buy in for like $200, if they're down to 75, just decide on their own, I'm going to leave before I lose the rest of it. So there's that. There's the giving it away and then allowing myself to continue. And then, man, like the year started off really well. Had a couple great sessions of video poker. Had a few really good weeks in sports, and things have just other than a decent craps game that I had a week or two ago, things haven't really been all that good. And as a gambler, that can get really discouraging, right? It can be, you know, we do this because we enjoy it, but there's only so many times you can lose where you wonder, do I actually enjoy this?
So that's why, and it's always easy to say it, you know, because hindsight's 20/20. But that's why I think it's important, if you have a couple of losing weeks in a row, to take a knee on an uptick. Consider it like a manager pulling a starting pitcher who had a good start, build up his confidence, and, you know, build off of it for next time. We talked about it. Like, I think it was important for you to lock up a win this week.
Yeah.
And I think that if you find yourself in that situation next week, I think more for your psyche than for anything else, you just need to lock it up and take a knee and just be done.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that number looks like for you, but I think with all wagering, you have to have a number at which point you're going to say, you know what, I won this round, and shut it down. It's a little different when you believe there is a positive expected value. And with sports betting, you very well may believe whatever handicapping you're doing is positive. But, I think if you get your teeth kicked in a few times in a row, it changes the way you go about it. And I think that can be dangerous. And I think for all the listeners, right, whether it's sports betting, it's casino betting, it's poker, right? Like, whatever it is, if you have a few significant losses where you think it's impacting your process, you got to stop and you got to kind of recharge your battery or whatever it is. You have to evaluate your process, make sure that the process is good, strong, valid, and you have to get back to it rather than emotionally kind of go from one session to the next or one game to the next. It never works out that way.
Yeah, I think, I guess there's one more reason why I really tightened up, especially in soccer, really tightened up what warranted a bet. And so it was even more disappointing when that, you know, still didn't soften the blow, you know. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I started a new job recently it's a public affairs position, but it's focused on social media. And one of the first things I did was do a mass unfollowing from our accounts, because we were following all these ridiculous people. And my director's like, that's cool, but what's the thought behind that? And I was like, well, we're following all these people we don't need to be following. It's not to say that we shouldn't be following them, but right now I don't know why we are. So I'm scaling all the way back, and then who knows? Maybe we'll follow again in the future. And I think that's what I need to do. I think I need to scale my handicapping, my action, my the sports I'm willing to bet all the way back and start building again.
I think that's prudent. Yeah. Right? I mean, your volume has always been considerably higher than mine. So I guess it would make sense that I would echo those thoughts. There aren't that many, at least I don't see that many games per week where I feel like there's a clear advantage. Right. So if the number, if the number isn't off, then you're just, I don't know. You're flipping a coin, paying 11 on 10.
Right. Well, I mean, I mean, I'm always wagering. If I make a wager, it's because one of the sources that I use for line making or for win probability, stuff like that, show that there that there's value in the line there. I almost don't even like handicap anymore. Like, right, I do very little. Let me look at these two teams and see who I think, you know, if there's an advantage to the line, especially so like in soccer. I have a few sources that I use on win probability and stuff like that, and I really only take lines where there's plus money on the team that has the better win probability, right? I've almost gotten to like where that's the only bet that I'm making. It just hasn't been panning out, so I need to, you know, and so going into this week, I added another source and made it to where it has to be consistent across sources and not just with the source I prefer. And still, even with the sort of, with the agreeance of all of the, of my thoughts with the two or three sources that I'm including, still didn't well, I guess it's, I mean, it kind of worked out, right? The beginning of the week went okay, and I thought like, okay, maybe this is maybe I'm back onto something here, and then nope, slowly gave it away. But enough about me losing. Eric, you are wandering off with a few of your friends out to Macau. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's been listening to the Macau cast has probably caught up on what's to come. But for those that aren't listening to Macau cast, just briefly give us an idea of the gambling endeavors that you're looking to take part of while you're out there.
Well, we have an update. So even prior to Macau, there will be gambling stories. Mr. Michael Traeger will be joining me in Munich, en route to Macau, and we're going to do a little casino tour of Munich before I get back on a plane and continue onward to Macau. So we'll have a trip. We don't really do trip reports, but we'll have some discussion around gaming in Munich, and then on to Hong Kong and eventually Macau. So this group consists of Hunter Hillegas and his wife, Han from Chicago, Bethany Walsh, and I have a few friends that are coming as well that I guess would not be known to this community. There's not an awful lot of gamblers. Like Han will play. Bethany is a gambler, and my other friends that are coming are not necessarily looking to gamble the whole time that they're there. So it's going to be an interesting group of people coming together, trying to figure out what we're going to do when, where, and why.
Okay. I don't think I've been to it. I've only been to Germany once. So I was in Germany. Quick story for the listeners. Gather around, everybody.
Uncle Timmy time.
Yeah, that's right. I was in Algeria. I was posted in Algeria at the embassy there. And I wanted new contacts. I didn't have any contacts. I wanted to get some contact lenses. And so I checked with the embassy personnel, and they're like, yeah, you can, we have eye doctors here in Algeria. And a lot of the embassy personnel are like, yeah, I get my contacts here in Algeria. I'm like, okay, great. So I went to a local, the embassy nurse came with me to a local, optometrist. And do you remember those little, I don't know if they're still around, but like when we were kids, there was these little toys that like you looked in one side, it was like not a kaleidoscope, but like you would look in one side, on the other side you would see the image like 100 times, right? You know what I'm talking about, those little toys?
I thought you're talking about a ViewMaster. No,
you're not a ViewMaster. But image, like you're looking through it, and what you're looking at is then made into, 50, 100 iterate. I don't know what they're called. I don't even know if I'm describing it properly. Doesn't sound like okay. I am.
All right.
Anyways, he takes this instrument that reminded me of that, and like looks into it, and like is literally like pressing it up against my eye almost. And he's looking at it, and I'm like, all right, well, whatever gets the job done. And then he claims that I have lesions in my eye. And I was like, oh, that's not good. I heard that's not good. So the Marine Corps has to take that seriously, right? And so they're like, well, we have to get this checked. And so they sent me to Frankfurt to see an eye doctor there to get a second opinion. So I flew into Frankfurt, spent the night. The second day, ran, got my eye looked at, and the Navy doctor, Air Force doctor, was like, "Yeah, your eye's fine." It's like there's no lesions. I don't know what he saw. And I was on a flight later that night back to Algeria, and that was my trip to Germany. I was in country for less than 48 hours, I think. I got a trip to Germany out of an Algerian optometrist claiming there was lesions in my eye.
So what was the line on lesions versus no lesions?
I was confident that there was no lesions. I think even with his diagnosis, that's not the right word for that situation.
Yeah, but yeah, sure. Diagnosis.
Okay. Even with his diagnosis, I still think lesions actually being there was still an underdog. The line moved a little bit, right? He put some steam on the lesion side, but I still think no lesions was the favorite. So much so to where like my trip was the flight in and out was so close together, because they were confident that there wasn't gonna actually be anything that needed to be done. But because it was said, he was like, well, we have to have you go checked out. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna complain about getting spending a couple days in Germany. But I don't know if Frankfurt is really seeing Germany. You're gonna be in Macau for a while,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're recording this early, so that way we don't have to try to fiddle with it while you're gone. And then while you're gone, we're going to try, but we're still unsure of what recording at that distance may look like. It all depends on hotel Wi-Fi and scheduling and stuff like that. So next week's show, not quite sure what it's going to look like yet, but it'll still be there in some form or another. But we look forward to, I look forward to hearing about Macau. It's one of those places where I don't know if I would take advantage of being able to go there if I was in that area for some other reason, but I don't know if I'd go take a trip just to go that way.
Yeah. 16-hour flight.
Good Lord.
That tends to be a deal breaker for a lot of people. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to have to be pretty amazing for me to want to go back.
Yo, I thought the 10-hour flight to Hawaii was bad. And Hawaii is the payoff on the end of that flight, right? Like, and even then, I'm like, oh, do I really want to be on this flight? But in that case, what's nice is from here to Hawaii, you can get it direct. So you just put up with being in the air for a full 10 hours.
But well, my so direct is available. Well, direct to Hong Kong is available. Right. And flying home, I'm direct, so that'll be like 16 hours straight. The chance to stop off and spend a day in Munich, you know, that was the decision maker. I've never been to Munich before, and yeah. I've heard good things. So,
have you been to Germany at all before?
I have not. I have not. Nope.
Very good. Well, excited that you're going to get that opportunity as well. Eric, a lot of people had some nice things to say about last week's episode. A lot of people liked it. One thing that we talked about, we were talking about rule variations of each game that we enjoyed. And a couple days later, I was thinking about different blackjack variations, not necessarily in the rules, but the mechanics of the game. Mm-hmm. And I was curious if any of these variations that you've played personally, and which mechanic is your favorite, whether or not you would play the game, right? But which mechanic is your favorite? I'll give the people some examples. Free bet blackjack mm-hmm. is pretty popular right now. A lot of people enjoy it. There's double exposure. I don't even know if that's even really around anymore. But double exposure being where pretty much you see the dealer's two cards. Yep. And you make decisions based off that. There's blackjack switch, yep. Which came out about a decade ago. A lot of people like that, where you could switch your top two cards from between the two hands. Down under blackjack, which I think really only wasn't really... I think there's only a couple of casinos that even had it, and I don't think it lasted very long, but
it's still around.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to use this as a segue to, I guess, steal a couple of seconds and then go right back into it.
Sure.
Vegas Confessions is coming back, and I had recently recorded with Jay and our new co-host, and we were actually talking about Down Under Blackjack, and it's a game that they play in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's still going on. I'm hearing all sorts of games that I like. At what point do you have more that you want to discuss, or
No, those were going to be I was just going to throw out some examples so we non blackjack players maybe keep sort of understand what we're talking about when I say variations, right? We're not talking about rules like doubling and splitting and stuff like that. We're talking about the mechanics of the game and sort of the carnivalists.
They're different games altogether based right. off of let's call it a blackjack chassis with all sorts of modifications to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I like every game that you mentioned. They all have a higher house edge than standard blackjack, so it's not a smarter play, but I enjoy playing them all. Okay. Blackjack Switch was my favorite for a number of years. Free bet blackjack, it depends on the rules that are being played, how much the house edge spikes. But basically, free bet, all of your doubles and splits are, I don't want to say on the house, they match your bet, and it doesn't have to come from you. The casino places a lammer, which essentially is them giving you a free bet for doubles and splits. Down under, like I said, Jay Romero talked about that on our last episode on Vegas Confessions. I've never played it. My understanding is they tell you if the whole card is low, medium, or high.
Right. So when the dealer looks at the card the dealer,
peeks in the window. Yep.
Peeks in the window. There we go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then it'll go into a square. Blue, red, or gold, I believe. And blue is 2 to 5, red is 6 to 9, gold is 10 or ace. And so essentially what it's doing is, so if there's a 6 up card, and it goes over to red, well, now you know that the 6 to 9 is what's underneath. You're looking at a 12 to 15, right? And you can now make your decision based off that. And so, you know, you can I don't know if that's changing too many decisions, but, you know.
Sure it does. Well, in that particular...
That particular example, I don't know if that's going to change many decisions.
Right, but if you have a pat 18 or 19 and the dealer's up card is a 10 and the card, you know, the whole card, you know, is either a 10 or an ace, well, you're hitting on 19.
Right. Right. And, you know, if the dealer has a 2 and it goes to the red, that means the dealer has anywhere between an 8 and a 12. Or an 8 and 11. I'm sorry, an 8 and 11. And those are dangerous situations for the dealer, right? So I don't know. Maybe that influences your aggressiveness. Depending if you're perfect the basic strategy or if you would alter that for the information you're getting. But anyways, that's Down Under Blackjack. I've never played it. I'd love to try it though. It seems really interesting. But of all of these, the only I've played Double Exposure. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool, right? Because it's again, like you have a 15 and you see the dealer has an 18 and you're like, well, I hit, right?
Right.
Like and obviously if you saw the 8 or a 10, you would hit as well. But like anytime in Double Exposure, ties go to the dealer.
Right.
So you can't hit to a push and stay. The dealer would win that. And so you really know there is no staying, if you have an 18, they have an 18, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting in that I think for anybody who plays blackjack, and look, I love blackjack, but there is something interesting about there's something about justified reasons for getting away from basic strategy that are exciting. You know what I mean? It makes whether it's Down Under or Double Exposure or whatever it may be, where you have information that you normally don't do in blackjack, and that's now having you do something you wouldn't normally do in a situation. There's one thing I really like about blackjack tournaments, is you can get away from basic strategy based on the situation and information that you have. So.
Well, once you know basic strategy, blackjack is a very robotic game.
Yep.
You know, while you're making decisions, you're really not making decisions, right? If you're playing basic strategy and you haven't memorized, there is only one decision to make, and at no point in time are you actually making the decision. You're just remembering what the right decision is.
Yeah. So Thorpe told me to do this, so that's what
right
I'm gonna do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you're right, that's what, and I suppose if you took the time to learn perfect strategy for these games, it's the same thing, right? But most of us don't play these carnival games enough to be able to, or for it to warrant the amount of time required to learn, because it's a completely different strategy chart for each game. Right. I think if you were going to play one of them and get really, really good at them, then of course you want to learn it. But I think the average player, I don't know too many people that hone in on one of these games and this becomes what they do all the time.
Right.
So there's at least the illusion of you're making a decision here.
Yeah. Blackjack has definitely, over the past year, I think it's gone from this game that I enjoyed really in any scenario to I definitely now prefer to have someone there with me at the table, because I yearn for that conversation because of the it's so mechanical now, or it's so like, robotic, as you put it, right? It's just like, okay, this situation is a hit, this is double, this, you know. And so having someone at the table with me, adds another element to enjoying the game. Have you heard the saying, Eric?
Oh, I've heard the saying.
Yeah, well, I know you have, and I'm sure plenty of other people have too. As the saying goes, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, which means it pays to be greedy, but not too greedy. Well, this March Madness, PropSwap wants you to get fat. PropSwap.com is an online marketplace where you can buy and sell sports betting tickets. Whether it's a long shot future, a parlay with one game left, or even a straight bet at halftime, PropSwap lets you post your ticket for sale and lock in your money before the game is over. PropSwap is also a great place to find tickets at better odds than what's available at the sportsbook. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. Eric, before we move on, I feel like we sort of skimmed over something that you mentioned that a lot of people have been waiting for. Vegas Confessions is back, right?
Yeah, it's back. So we've had a couple of attempts to bring it back, and I'm confident this time it's back. So I would expect a release in the next few days.
Little
different. It'll be a little different.
A little different. Okay.
All right.
But you're still on it.
I'm still there.
That's all that matters to me, man.
They don't even put me in a probationary period. They're like, no, you're good, man. Yeah, we want you around.
Yeah, they trusted you a little too much, a little too early, if you ask me.
Probably. That's a fair point. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that wasn't a slight at Jay. Jay, I'm looking forward to hearing you on the show as well. So is it going to be a Sunday release again? You guys can go on a different day.
So without revealing,
you guys were a Friday release, right? You guys were a Friday release.
We were a Friday release. That's so right. Without revealing too much, there was a substantial change in production responsibilities.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm not sure if that's been figured out yet. But
okay.
Yeah.
Very well. Eric, you had a few things on your docket over there. Let's just go. Just bring us down your list. What do you got?
From February 1st until a date last week, I had to slum in the diamond lines with people like you, and I was afraid of catching infectious diseases and
sure,
you know, whatever other stuff you find in the diamond lines. And John B was kind enough. He had made 7 stars last year. He felt bad for me that I was wallowing with the diamonds, and he was like, you know what, man, I'll take care of you, I'll hook you up. So John B made me his 7-star companion. I'm back with the obnoxious 7-star people. It was very, very kind of him, very generous. I really appreciate it. I had to inform him this doesn't make me his bitch, though. There's definitely like a line that I won't cross, but I appreciate him reaching out and offering that to me, so I'll be back in the 7-star lounges in no time. Oddly enough, Caesars Entertainment today announced, or at least reported by Daryl McEwen today, you used to be able to bring 3 guests into the 7-stars lounge. They've now reduced it to 1. So,
oh wow,
yeah. So further reductions from Caesars Entertainment, again aimed at their top tier players. So they're gonna cut everybody. Additionally, you know, listeners have been incredibly kind and generous. So John gets me back to 7 stars as a companion. I had mentioned on last week's show that the referral money was pretty dry last week. I had 6 different people reach out to become referrals to sign up for New Jersey. So I'm not going to mention you all by name, but I thank you sincerely. It was very kind of each and every one of you. 2 of which were podcasters themselves. The other 4 were listeners. And referral money made it a positive week. So again, I thank you. you know, Tim gets the Patreon, I get the referral bonus. So that's the split. You usually ask me about offers, right? Different mailers, things of that nature.
Yeah, I think I haven't gotten anything worth talking about in the past couple of weeks, which is why I haven't really brought it up. But yeah, have you got anything of note?
Well, so the mailer itself, no. But last week I went to Harris, Philadelphia, and they have a promotion going. If you play Asian games for 1 hour and earn at least 60 tier credits, you get a free dinner. So if I understand the promotion correctly, you play an hour of any Asian table game, and you have to earn 60 tier credits, they'll give you a dinner voucher of up to $25. Now, a $25 meal voucher isn't going to make anybody fly across the country to get there. But if you're relatively local to Harris, Philadelphia, just to spell it out, 60 tier credits would be the same as 60 reward credits, which means you are gambling enough to earn 60 cents worth of comps. So for 60 cents worth of comps, they're going to give you a $25 dinner voucher.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's really generous.
How wild would it be if you're there at like the Bok table and you're like, oh, where are you from? And they're like, oh, we're from Omaha. We're here for the noodle.
Yeah. Right.
Too good. We could, that's an AP. We had a we couldn't pass it up.
We couldn't pass it up. But we were playing at a commission-free Paigao table, $25 minimum. Like it, you know, it was great. You know, what your actual Theo is versus what they're giving you in that free dinner. It was really strong. So yeah. Again, if you're local, you should definitely take advantage of it. And
how long's that running? Do you know, is that sort of a normal offer they have, or is that
it's been going for a while. Okay. I've never taken advantage of it before, but I didn't see an end date on anything. And if you are going to Harris, Philadelphia, Zach Dupris is my host there, also listener of the show. I'd recommend reaching out to Zach and, you know, see what he can do for you. He had sent me a message to let me know that the bet being 1% of bankroll is what they're looking for. So, you know, when I was saying you really need 100 bets, 100 units to sit down, like that's pretty much in line with what he was saying. So I guess there's a little confirmation there.
Okay. I dig it. Yeah. I also like that you're going to Harris, Philadelphia as much as you are. For someone who despises the city, it's interesting that they've caught your eye down there at the local Harris.
Good people make a difference. I don't love Philadelphia, and I'll be honest, I don't love Harris, Philadelphia. I think they're pretty good at a lot of things, but there's a number of good people that work there that make the difference, Zach being one of them. And you know, I'll go out of my way because they go out of their way, I think is the way we described it in the past, and it holds true.
Yeah.
And they just put in a Top Golf, by the way. So if you are a golfer, it's not real golf, but it's their indoor Top Golf version, which, you know, many of these casinos that are, you know, just like little regional, no hotel or anything like that, you don't expect other amenities. And they're doing a lot of things over there. So yeah, I've been pretty pleased with them.
All right. Very good. I've been there once or twice. The first time I was there, I had a long evening crap session that went very well, and the crew was wonderful. So I haven't had enough experiences to say much more than that. But just the little bit of exposure I've had to Harris, Philadelphia was a good one, and the crew was very nice and a lot of fun to play with. So and reasonable limits, right? I think it was Saturday. I think it was a Saturday night, and I think I was, $10 at the craps table. So,
entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah. So, very well. Oh, Eric, we have one more betting pool T-shirt to give out. Apparently, when you and I were on the phone, I think it was on Friday. You asked me, "Hey, what was up with the random transition audios being played in the middle of last week's show?" And I immediately started cussing, like, "God damn it!" I knew exactly what had happened, and had not realized at all that it had. And you, true to form, were consistent with that week's theme, and was like, "Oh, well, the winner of the camp of Tim being pissed off at another production failure." Do you remember who went? Do you remember who won on Friday when we were talking the car? Do you remember who you awarded it to?
Was it John?
I think it was John. Yep.
I think it was John. Yeah. So I had John on my mind because he had just mentioned the 7-star companion. So John Blattman, you get a T-shirt too. So anybody who I offered a T-shirt to last week or this week, DM me the size that you want, or else you're getting an extra large.
I went to MGM National Harbor to play a promotion, the Scratch It Rich. There we go. The Scratch It Rich promotion that they had. It was the first day of the promotion. It runs for a couple months. And if you played it, you got a T-shirt on the first day. So I went to go get my T-shirt, and right as I was about to say what my size I was, she just handed it to me, and I realized, oh yeah, they're all probably the same size. and then I wondered, like, man, that's kind of like, it was an extra large, which I'm sure covers, you know, more than half of their bases. Like, man, it's gotta, if you're like on the small side of a medium, and you end up getting an extra large, like, what do I do with this? But I never turned down a free T-shirt. There's something about humans and free T-shirts that we appreciate.
Okay, so email came in. Eric, Jamie Perry here. I met you at the Mint a few months back. I'm really enjoying your contribution on the Better Life with Tim. I heard you mention that you apply for credit when you go on a trip. I've gambled for a long time, but never applied for casino credit. Something I've always been curious about is how that process works. I'm planning a Vegas trip in June with a $5,000 bankroll, and I don't really want to carry that amount of cash. Maybe on an upcoming episode, you guys could talk about it. Thank you, Jamie.
This is a wonderful conversation to have, because I had actually been thinking about casino credit as well from the conversation that we had. Especially when I mentioned last week that one of my biggest frustrations is when I buy in and my player's card sits in the freaking computer there for 15 minutes before anybody does anything with it, right? And you mentioned, well, when you get a marker, they start you up right away. And I was like, well, that might solve my problem then. So I've been thinking about it as well. I don't know much about the process. I don't know any tips on it. I don't know what they look for in my. They just, if I apply for, I don't know, if I apply for a, you know, $1,000 marker, are they just gonna, or for a $1,000 credit, are they just gonna make sure that I have $1,000? And I'm just using that number arbitrarily, but are they just gonna check to see if I've had, if that's my daily average, or like what goes into that process?
So they're going to do a hard inquiry. They're going to pull your credit report and make sure that credit worthiness is there. And then they're going to verify from your bank, the current, whatever account you give them. Usually it's the current balance and the average balance 30, 60, 90 days out.
Okay.
There are some variations to that. But generally, you know, they're looking to make sure that you're not a terrible credit risk, and that there's money in the account to satisfy the marker that you're requesting. This can be done on site at Casino Credit. This can be done in advance through a host or through Casino Credit. The major players will have the ability for you to either apply online or to print a form and fax it in. It's really pretty straightforward. You just need to, you know, if let's start with the credit aspect of it. They're not really giving you credit. What they're doing is holding a post-dated check, right? So it's really check cashing privilege that based upon either the amount that you borrow or the amount of your credit line, they give you X number of days for it to be paid back. And you can pay back before you leave, or what you're signing when you sign for a marker is actually a check that they will then deposit. So, I mean, in every way, it's you signing either electronically or paper, a check that they print to be deposited at a later date, and they front you the chips. Or if it's for a slot advance, cash or voucher. There's not an awful lot that goes into it other than a lot of the larger corporations don't want you to have an awful lot of markers out, and they don't like you applying for multiple at the same time. So I'll use my favorite, Caesars Entertainment. In Atlantic City, you can have them at each place. In Las Vegas, they want you to have one at one. The rules are going to vary considerably based on destination. Each state has their own rules and regulations. I can promise you that Nevada and New Jersey, the rules look nothing alike. There's a fair amount of this information over at travelzork.com. I'm sure there are articles that you can pull information from. If you have any specific questions, you know, catch me on Twitter at erosenthal1029. But there's, oh, you know what? There is one other thing. There's been the guys over at You Can Bet on That, Mark and Dr. Mike, have been talking about getting chips at the cage and just drawing a marker at the cage so they could just walk up to the table. You know, they're more concerned with action than they are with their rating.
Right.
So for them, that works. If it's somebody like you who wants to make sure that you're getting your action and the rating at the same time, just pull the marker at the table.
Yeah. Is there other benefits to pulling the marker other than that one specifically and carrying? Like, those are the two main benefits, right? Don't carry your own cash, and your rating starts immediately. Any other benefits?
There are, but mostly when the markers are higher than like $1,000 marker. I guess the first thing is, if, and again, I'll give credit to Michael. If you give the appearance of being a $300 better, $500 better, $700 better, your buy-in has to make sense.
Right.
Right. So I'm not suggesting anybody do anything to make their numbers look greater than they might be, but nobody's going to believe you were betting $300 a hand when your buy-in was only $2,000.
Right.
So you probably need, you know, a much larger buy-in. And again, if you're not carrying cash, then the marker might solve that problem. Additionally, based upon the size of your marker, there are other things. A host might be willing to do more for you. They look at the marker as what they know you can lose. Right? Sure. So if you can pull 25,000 or 50,000 over the weekend, well, that's worth a lot more than, you know, somebody who's cash and carry and they don't know how much you have on.
Right.
You know, yeah, any given weekend. I might be a $10,000 a weekend guy, but they don't know until they've got play history. So the marker or front money tells them, you know, all right, if this guy's really going to gamble, this is what's available. This is what I know I can get my hands on. So that plays a role. I don't know if there's anything else I'd get into on the show.
Okay, very well. Then I think this is a good enough time to segue into Gamble Palooza. Any updates there the listeners need to know about?
Well, we recorded a couple of days ago, so no, not right. not since then. I believe, let me bring up Cousin Vito. I believe Vito decided to scrap Gilchrist at Gardner's Basin. I think that's off Monday. Yeah. So he's making Monday all at Borgata.
Okay.
The Hard Rock dinner has been pulled, and Gilchrist has been pulled, and we still don't have an awful lot of numbers for the dinner at Dolce Mar. So the prefix may fall off there as well, and it just become a, you know, we'll get a reservation for a group of people, and that's it.
All right. I dig it. Where are you staying again, Ocean?
2 days at Ocean, 2 days at Borgata.
That's right. Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it. You leave for Macau. You'll be in Macau when this releases. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show. Do appreciate everybody's contributions there. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can cop one of our t-shirts. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. And as always, please leave us a rating and review in your podcatcher of choice. We do appreciate the support and the feedback. Eric, I hope you have a good time in Macau, sir.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
I'm Timothy Lawson. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal, good night and good luck.